The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 16th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. From that time on, after Peter confessed that Jesus was the Messiah, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly, I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In last week's gospel, Jesus asked his disciples who people said he was. Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But who do you say I am? Jesus asked. Simon answered, You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered, Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, which means rock. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. How do you think Simon Peter must have felt? He seems to be the hero of the story. And then we come to this week's gospel, where we are told that after hearing Peter's confession of faith, Jesus starts telling his disciples that he will undergo great suffering and be killed and rise on the third day. Peter proclaimed Jesus as the Messiah, but Jesus is talking about being a different kind of Messiah than Peter envisioned. A suffering Messiah, not a triumphant one. Peter responds, Oh no, Lord, you want the crown, not the cross. You want the crown of victory and not the crown of thorns. You want glory. Not suffering. No, Lord, God forbid that you suffer. He may be thinking, if you were to suffer and die and we are to follow you, no, Lord, that cannot be what you are saying. Jesus hears in Peter's words the words of the adversary, the one who might cause him to deviate from the path that he knows he needs to take. The one who would have him put aside his convictions to follow the path of the world rather than the path of God. Jesus turns to this one that he has renamed Rock and says to him, Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. How do you think Simon Peter feels now? He's gone from hero to zero. Jesus then tells Peter and the other disciples that they need to deny themselves, to take up their cross and follow him. He says, "For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life?" He does not mean just their physical life. He's referring to their eternal life, their spiritual life. What does it profit a person to gain everything that they want in this world if they lose what really matters? What would have happened to us if Jesus had allowed Simon Peter to be that stumbling block? If he had chosen the crown of glory rather than the crown of thorns? If he had decided to abandon his convictions for the comfort of the world? A few days ago, I watched the movie Hacksaw Ridge. It is based on the life of Desmond Doss, who served as an Army medic during World War II. The film was directed by Mel Gibson, so you should not be surprised that it contained scene after scene of brutal violence. I found myself wanting to fast forward during some of the worst of the battle scenes, but I didn't. Let me tell you the story. Desmond Doss was born in 1919 in Lynchburg, Virginia, to William and Bertha Doss. William fought in the First World War and appears to suffer from what we would now call PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. Bertha raised her children as devout Seventh-day Adventists, instilling in them respect for the Sabbath, a love of scripture, and a vegetarian lifestyle. From a young age, Doss was captivated by a framed picture of the Ten Commandments, in particular the illustration that accompanied the commandment, "Thou shalt not kill." It shows a drawing of Cain killing his brother Abel. After taking a gun away from his father during a fight, Doss vows never to touch one again. At the time the United States entered World War II, Doss was employed as a joiner in a shipyard, a position which made him eligible for a deferment. However, he felt a moral obligation to serve. He thought that if he became a medic, he could be like Christ, saving life instead of taking life. He went to South Carolina to join the 77th Division and begin his basic training at Fort Jackson. The Army initially refused his request to be a medic and assigned him to a rifle company, figuring that peer pressure and intimidation might convince him to handle a weapon. His fellow soldiers ridiculed him and did not want to associate with him. After all, how can you trust a man who refuses to carry a gun into battle? How can it be anything other than a liability? His fellow soldiers thought he was a coward. They beat him and tried to intimidate him. When he refused to work on the Sabbath, he was assigned extra tough duties. When he refused to quit, his superiors attempted to have him discharged on the grounds of mental instability. He was labeled a conscientious objector, though he disputed that label, stating that he was a conscientious cooperator. Unlike other conscientious objectors, he was eager to wear the uniform, to salute the American flag, and to serve his country, but he refused to handle a rifle. After a month of being in the infantry, his wish to train as a medic was granted. He went overseas with his platoon in 1944, serving as a medic in Guam and the Philippines, and was awarded 2 Bronze Star medals with a V device for exceptional valor in aiding wounded soldiers under fire. The movie skips over this part of Doss's life, instead focusing on what occurred during the Battle of Okinawa. During that battle, he ran through enemy fire to bring his wounded comrades to safety, saving the lives of between 50 and 100 wounded men atop the area known as the Maida Escarpment, or Hacksaw Ridge. Doss was wounded four times in Okinawa and was evacuated on May 21, 1945, aboard the USS Mercy. He was awarded the Medal of Honor for his actions in Okinawa. After the war, Doss planned to continue his career in carpentry, but extensive damage to his left arm made this impossible. In 1946, he was diagnosed with tuberculosis, which he contracted while in the Philippines. He underwent treatment for 5.5 years, losing a lung and 5 ribs, before being discharged from the hospital in August 1951 with 90% disability. Because of his injuries, he was never able to work full-time and devoted the rest of his life to working with his church. He died in 2006 at his home in Piedmont, Alabama. In a documentary entitled Conscientious Objector, Doss said, "I felt like it was an honor to serve God and country. We were fighting for our religious liberty and freedom." Let me read his Medal of Honor citation. It details some information not presented in the movie, some of which Mel Gibson thought an audience would not find believable, even though it's true. Private First Class Desmond T. Doss, United States Army, Medical Detachment, 307th Infantry, 77th Infantry Division, near Arasomura, Okinawa, 29 April to 21 May, 1945. He was a company aid man when the 1st Battalion assaulted a jagged escarpment 400 feet high. As our troops gained the summit, a heavy concentration of artillery, mortar, and machine gun fire crashed into them, inflicting approximately 75 casualties and driving the others back. Private First Class Doss refused to seek cover and remained in the fire-swept area with the many stricken, carrying them one by one to the edge of the escarpment and there lowering them on a rope-supported litter down the face of a cliff to friendly hands. On 2 May, he exposed himself to heavy rifle and mortar fire in rescuing a wounded man 200 yards forward of the lines on the same escarpment. And 2 days later, he treated 4 men who had been cut down while assaulting a strongly defended cave, advancing through a shower of grenades to within 8 yards of enemy forces in a cave's mouth, where he dressed his comrades' wounds before making 4 separate trips under fire to evacuate them to safety. On 5 May, he unhesitatingly braved enemy shelling and small arms fire to assist an artillery officer. He applied bandages, moved his patient to a spot that offered protection from small arms fire, and, while artillery and mortar shells fell close by, painstakingly administered plasma. Later that day, when an American was severely wounded by fire from a cave, Private First Class Doss crawled to him where he had fallen 25 feet from the enemy position, rendered aid, and carried him 100 yards to safety while continually exposed to enemy fire. On 21 May, in a night attack on high ground near Shuri, he remained in exposed territory while the rest of his company took cover, fearlessly risking the chance that he would be mistaken for an infiltrating Japanese and giving aid to the injured until he was himself seriously wounded in the legs by the explosion of a grenade. Rather than call another aid man from cover, he cared for his own injuries and waited 5 hours before litter bearers reached him and started carrying him to cover. The trio was caught in an enemy tank attack, and Private First Class Doss, seeing a more critically wounded man nearby, crawled off the litter and directed the bearers to give their first attention to the other man. Awaiting the litter bearer's return, he was again struck, this time suffering a compound fracture of one arm. With magnificent fortitude, he bound a rifle stock to his shattered arm as a splint and then crawled 300 yards over rough terrain to the aid station. Through his outstanding bravery and unflinching determination in the face of desperately dangerous conditions, Private First Class Doss saved the lives of many soldiers. His name became a symbol throughout the 77th Infantry Division for outstanding gallantry far above and beyond the call of duty. Signed, Harry Truman, October 12, 1945. This was a man they called a coward for refusing to bear arms. This was a man that his supervisors later said was the bravest of all. Desmond Doss exemplifies a man who stood by his convictions when all others doubted him, a man who refused to do what was expected when it went against those convictions. He could have taken the easy way, the way of the world. He could have refused to suffer for the sake of what he believed. He could have allowed his fellow soldiers and his superiors to be stumbling blocks to his faith, setting his mind not on divine things, but on human things. Remember the words of Jesus. If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? In our lesson from Romans 12 last week, we heard these words. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Today's epistle lesson extends that further, describing how followers of Christ are to behave with one another and with the world. It would be a good spiritual practice to look at all of Romans 12, reflecting on what God is asking of us and how we fall short of that mark. And when we fall short, what do? We acknowledge our need for a Savior. We fall at the feet of the one who chose the crown of thorns, the crown of suffering, rather than an earthly crown. For our sake and the sake of the world, God so loves. Amen. Let us join together in our song of the day, We Are a Chosen People.